story. That's probably a good place to start. So in 2010, I was in America, particularly in Arizona. And that was for the book tour of my first book, which was published there in Arizona. And I had always longed to go to Monument Valley all my life. And so I asked around for someone who might be able to guide me through the region, and I was introduced to a fellow called Tom Golitz, and he was very happy to show me around. And obviously we had a good connection, otherwise we wouldn't have set off together exploring. And one day, as we were walking in the desert, he said to me, "Oh, you'd really like to meet my friend Elroy. He's a medicine man." And I looked at him, and he knew my answer straight away. So we went off to Elroy's place. And
Nevada? Was that Nevada?
Arizona.
Arizona it was,
near
right.
Monument Valley. So
he was called the Nevada medicine man. Was I got that
Navajo.
Right? Navajo, that's what I've got in my sorry. I knew that started with N.
Navajo medicine man.
That's right, that's what I was
and,
looking for.
After, you know, welcome blessings and talking about who I was and why I was there, Elroy looked at me and said, "My mother Lucy, medicine woman, always told me way back, the person who would write my story would come from far away."
I've got shivers up my spine.
So
how wonderful.
That was a very one of the many, shall I say, spiritual synchronicities that happened. But why did I actually say yes?
How long did it take you to say yes?
Oh, 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Fair enough. So you didn't exactly put a lot of thought into it at that stage.
No, but I have now, because the book is out and I'm talking a lot about the book. So I've really had to take apart my conviction and that very strong knowing and the synchronicities to answer the question about why I said yes.
I might just ask you to move either the mic a little, yes, a little bit more in front of the mic, I think.
Okay.
As long as it's comfortable for you with
yeah,
the way you're doing
fine.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
So the yes is for many reasons. It's because Elroy is a truly unique medicine man who lives between his humanity and his divinity. It's also because the story is about the complexities and struggles that we all have within ourselves about the different aspects of ourselves and how to live peacefully with those. It's because also our world is full of people and cultures and nations struggling with the same complexities of living peacefully together. So now, more than ever, Elroy's message needs to be heard. So, of course, it's about how Elroy reconciles these complexities and lives with them and teaches and practices his medicine. Of course, there was always the uniqueness of Elroy's human condition that truly inspired me. That as a paraplegic,
yes,
he moves.
I was interested in my the word.
He became a paraplegic at the age of one for after an accident within his family that occurred within his family. So that's part of his complexity and uniqueness, is that he has moved between two health traditions, between the rehab in the Western medicine and between, of course, being the chosen medicine man of his tribe. Also, he's married to a white New York woman who came all the way from New York over to Arizona for a ceremony, and they started their life together. So he moves between two cultures as well. So So there was all of that, and as well as that, there was all of what matters to me. So whether in my career I have worked as a speech pathologist, as a yoga practitioner, as an author, biographer, a teacher of writing, but it's always been about assisting those who aspire to find their voice. And in amongst that work, one of my great inspirations has been the resilience and healing traditions of Aboriginal peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my greatest fears from working with Aboriginal people in remote Australia and other parts of the world is that these time-honoured traditions won't be preserved, they won't be valued or included in non-Indigenous people's ways of thinking.
And it's unfortunate too that the race itself is becoming, I was trying to think of the right word, weakened, I suppose you would say, in the intermarriage and things. I don't know whether we even know how many full bloods we still have in Australia.
Mm. Well, no, I don't know either.
No.
Those are all the reasons why I said yes.
Of course. Yes.
And the yes led to 4 years of pretty much living on the reservation amongst Elroy's community and family and travelling around with him. It's the first time that the story of his clan, which is called the Deer Spring Clan, has been written. So it really was, grounded field work. We would go driving in the car to little communities on the reservation and seek out Deer Spring people and, talk. And so that's a little bit about how it came to be.
And how did you connect with Rubies for the actual launch?
Oh, okay. So I think I said before that I have a very strong... I've always loved Braidwood and this area. And I think it's the... I call it the Indigenous spirit that we all have, and sometimes it comes out and we really feel it spine-tinglingly strongly. And I always feel it whenever I come to this area. And when I saw Rubies there, so another very interesting synchronicity, when I came through that time that I met Robin and Rubies, I could not find a car park anywhere.
That's Braidwood's main street for you.
And I drove up and down about 3 times, and then I saw a car park right outside Ruby's bookstore. So then I went, when I went in and met Robin, it was very much, and we haven't had a great lot of time to spend together, but it was very much a meeting of the ideologies, if you like. Mm. So I was very, she was very, very pleased to host such a story at her place.
I think that's part of the reason that those of us that do go, I don't go very often, but I certainly every now and then I think to myself, I need another book. And she's got secondhand books as well, which is great. And yes, there's always something that's just that, not too different, but just something there that appeals to me.
Mm.
And I always thoroughly enjoy the reading that I get. And I don't go to all the book launches, but the ones that we go to, it's standing room only, which doesn't suit me. So standing room only.
Well, we can get you a chair.
It's not the sort of the worry of it. It's better for me to go and not stay too long, most probably. But
Ruby's books, I mean, one of my hopes for readers who, pick up and hold this book and buy it and read it is that they will be inspired by the uniqueness of who they are also.
Is it going to be a standard book as expected, or something a little bit different in size, or the book that you, that's pretty... you've got it there now.
I've got it here.
I didn't read it upside down.
It's a standard book.
And it's very handsome.
One of the lovely things about it is that the photos in it are colour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
And so as we were working on the book, Elroy invited me to write some of my reflections of that experience. Because, of course, how difficult is it for a woman to write a man's biography, to write a cross-cultural biography, to write coming from... from a different medicine background. So, because I've studied speech pathology, which is Western medicine, I've also studied Eastern medicine. So it was bringing the medicines together. It was also English is the second language for Elroy, and Navajo is definitely a second language for me. If you can remember how in World War II the Navajo code talkers were chosen because hardly anyone can ever learn to speak Navajo. So there were many, many challenges in writing the book, which led to, we were talking about the presentation of it. So then Elroy invited me to write my reflections of some of the experiences. So the book is in two fonts. So one font is Elroy's voice, and the other font is my reflections.
Does that help?
And so it doesn't need to be read in a linear way. That's the other thing that's really, really was a huge challenge, because we non-Indigenous people are all about linear thinking and linear time. And of course, this non-Indigenous people, I call it round, circular time, which certainly made the writing of this book very challenging. But in the end, the presentation of the book can be read in circular time, because you don't need to read it from
page by page
chronologically.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and what do I mean by circular time? It's a tricky one. So Elroy and I, we would start off on a story, and then suddenly it would be something that happened years ago, or some other story that seemed to me to be completely unrelated. And it were long, long, long pauses of waiting for me to understand and to get how it all fitted together. Very different ways of thinking, as I said. So, for example, I remember asking Elroy some questions once, and he was so not answering directly at all. And, you know, I had to go back to Australia the next day, and I'm like, oh, why is the answer that? So I can just, like, get on with this part. And anyway, so 6 months later, I come back to for the next bit of story writing. And, of course, it's Sydney to LA and LA to Phoenix, and then I get on the bus from Phoenix to Sedona, and I hire my car and I drive out 4 hours into the desert, and I get to Elroy's house, and he swings open the door and he says, you know that question you asked me 6 months ago? I'm ready to answer it now. Let's write.
Do you remember the question you'd asked?
I remember the question.
That would have been a worry if you'd had to say, what question was
that? So there were many challenges in learning about different ways of thinking involved in, you know, crafting this.
And I have read the information. I haven't absorbed it all. But had he written other books before?
No, Elroy doesn't write.
So he hadn't done anything.
No.
Or similar to the way you'd done it, where you took on the responsibility of writing his story.
So Elroy's story had never been written before. Mm-hmm. The story of his clan and where they came from, their like creation story, if you like, of his clan. And certainly not his life story. No, like that's what I was saying at the beginning, that he was waiting for the, right, person
for the right person
to come.
Yes, yes.
So, no, that's right. It hadn't been. And Elroy was certainly very careful about being a medicine man, about inviting me to what was permissible for me to be invited to, and telling me what he could about their creation stories and his medicine. He was very, very diligent about that. So,
and he must have established trust with you very quickly then in that game. He would have had to have made a decision, I guess, based on trust to some degree. Would that be good to welcome you to do...
Well, I think it goes back to the synchronicitous meeting,
mm-hmm.
and that he'd always had in his knowing the words of his mother, you know, saying the person who would write the story would come from
far away.
So he always had that in his mind, and we'd been brought together by this series of synchronicities through this other friend, Tom Golitz, and arriving there, and, you know, my longing to go to Monument Valley forever since I was a teenager. So there was, shall I say, the workings of spirit there. And I think when people are open to that and listening to that, then trust, well-grounded trust, comes very quickly.
Well, let's make sure that everybody knows time and place for tomorrow. Everybody,
yes.
Now, and then we need to do a reminder.
Yes.
So we're talking about 2:30
2:30 at Ruby's.
On Sunday, which will be March the 5th.
That's right.
And I hope that as other... times at Ruby's, you get that wonderful audience that spills out onto the footpath.
Oh, thank you, Jill. It would be lovely. So the book, I call them celebrations and discussions, really, rather than launches. So we celebrate how stories come out into the world, and I'm celebrating how I can share it. So Elroy's gift was his story, and my gift is to give that a voice. And so, as I said before, I hope that all the readers, as they read it and hold it, will get a sense of that gift and that that knowing of the uniqueness of their own story and culture. And
might, they might recognise things within themselves they hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, so, you know... The groups are always great because, you know, we always end up having wonderful discussions and people sharing from their experiences that are triggered by the book.
Well, I do wish you all the best, and I hope that it's a very successful and pleasant afternoon.
Oh, it will be
tomorrow.
We've got lots of food and
good. And I think I mentioned I did once again, let's just make sure it's Sunday, March the 5th, which is tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. at Ruby's Bookshop.
Thank you very much for having me on this show,
Jill. Thank you for being on too, and thank you for patiently waiting till we sorted ourselves
out
this morning.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you and
Roger. This is Roger.
Tomorrow.
Yes. You may or may not see Roger, but he will try, I'm sure.
Okay.
This is Braidwood FM.